Think by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 97, beginning at verse 1, and it tells us these words. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people sees his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice. Because of your judgments, O Lord, for you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, which teaches and encourages us and empowers us in our worship and our praise. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we have the privilege of worshiping and thanking and praising you every day of our lives. Empower us to be a people that live a life full of praise and thanksgiving and glorifying of you. And empower us day by day to be people that are always listening to the voice of your Holy Spirit and seeking to walk in obedience. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we're grateful to have with us in studio today Jocelyn White. And Jocelyn will be joining us in just a few moments. So, but Jocelyn, as we start in just a few moments, I'm going to let you share a little bit. But what I'd like to do is we're going to give you a chance to share a little bit about specifically an event that's coming up, right? It's an event. Give me the name of the event one more time.
Naked and Not Ashamed presents The Great Outpour.
Okay, say it again.
Naked and Not Ashamed presents The Great Outpour.
The Great Outpour. Okay, then. And when is this event going on, Jocelyn?
It's going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 6:30.
So it's tonight and tomorrow and Saturday then. Mm-hmm. Okay then. And the name of your church again is Miracle Life Ministries Church Fellowship. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the address?
It's 3238 Tom Watson Drive, Saltillo, Mississippi.
Okay. Repeat that one more time.
3238 Tom Watson Drive, Saltillo, Mississippi.
Okay. And tell us about the event. What's supposed to happen at this particular event?
Well, it's just like in the Bible on the day of Pentecost when they were all in one accord, and then a rush of mighty wind came in, mm-hmm. and then the Spirit began to fill the place, and everyone began to speak in tongues. That's how it was for us last night. I mean, we had as little as 7-year-olds beginning to speak of other tongues, and it was just so amazing to be able to just encounter this experience where God came in. And even his 7-year-old, he even had a vision of a great rapture. And in the Bible, it talks about in the last days, he's going to pour out the Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will begin to prophesy, and your young men will have visions and dreams. So that's exactly what took place last night at Miracle Life Ministries.
Okay, then. And the pastor at Miracle Life is?
Bishop Gregory Bolden.
Bishop Gregory Bolden.
And then okay. Pastor Sandra Bolden.
All righty, then. And so Bishop Bolden will be the minister for all three nights then?
No, he's speaking tonight for us, and then tomorrow we will have Apostle Sheila Marr from Dayton, Ohio, and then Saturday night we'll have Deanna Benson from Oxford, Mississippi.
Okay then. And now are you one of the ministers there at the church too, Jocelyn?
I mean, I wouldn't say a minister. I would just say more a disciple for God. I mean, we're all called to minister and worship. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Now, you all, you and some of the other young people from your church have been with us before. You all have a special prayer outreach that you have every Tuesday in
every
the park?
Every Tuesday, yes.
Okay, tell us about that outreach, would you?
Well, it's just prayer in the park. It starts at 6 p.m., I mean, it's so amazing. Like, every time we get someone, like, every time we have a prayer request, it always get answered. I mean, there's nothing that we haven't asked for that we haven't even seen it happen. So it's something special about this prayer. If you want something from God, then I strongly advise you to come out here or just send your requests.
So. Mm-hmm. So you all meet in which park is that?
The most popular side where the volleyball nets are.
Ballard Park.
Ballard Park here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Okay, every Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. Every Tuesday. We haven't even missed a Tuesday. Even if it's raining, snowing, hot, cold, we're always out there.
Okay, because God answers prayer even in the rain and the snow as well. So, okay. So what time is that prayer time? What time is it?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. And you all meet every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday.
Okay, then. And what age range of young people come out and are a part of this prayer outreach?
I mean, there's no age limit, but we have people from all ages to come out there and in fellowship with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so anyone that would like to join you can join you then.
Yes. I mean, we have little kids, we have teenagers, and we have the seasoned saints as well come out there.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is the goal behind you all? You're going out there and praying in the park?
We just want to see God move in a way that he doesn't usually do, like on a Tuesday, because most of the time people pray on the church days, which is Sunday and Wednesday. So why not do something different and try it on a Tuesday and mm-hmm. see him move just as much, you know?
That's right. That's good. That's good. Well, Jocelyn, I want to ask if you'll take time now. Would you pray for young people in our culture? You know, there are a lot of lots of challenges that are going on in our world. The world is a very dangerous place in so many ways. And sadly, you know, Scripture speaks of how that Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he tries to devour adults, children, and young people as well. And so there's a great need for the church to be aggressive about reaching out to our youth and to our young people, our children. Would you pray for whatever's on your heart to pray for youth and children and young adults in our society today?
Mm-hmm. Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to come to you on today, God. Just giving you all the glory, God, giving you all the honor, God. We just thank you, God, for this opportunity, God, to be able to reach out to many souls, God, all over the nation, God. And God, right now, I just want to pray for the young people as a whole, God,
yes,
all
Lord.
The young adults, God. I thank you, God, how they realize, God, that they are not left out with you, God, that this life is not, they're not too young,
thank
God,
you,
to
Lord.
Live for
Jesus.
You, God. And I thank you, God, for giving them the courage, God, for giving them the boldness, God, to be able to serve you, Lord, God. I thank you, God, how as they begin to seek you first, God, and just keep you first in their life, God, there is nothing, God, that you will withhold from them, Lord, God. And I thank you, God, just for guarding their hearts, God, just guarding their minds, Lord, God, as the enemy, God, tries to attack them, Lord, God. I thank you, God, just for allowing them a way to escape, Lord, God, and be able to see their real selves, Lord, God. And I pray they realize, God, without you, God, that they are nothing, God, that they won't make it, God, they don't keep you first, God. And I thank you, God, for all the blessings, God, that you have bestowed over our life, God. I thank you, God, for the great outpour that's taking place, God, in this nation, God. God, we just give you all the honor, Lord, God. You are so great, God. You are so worthy, God, of all of our praises, God. And if we ever don't give you the praise that you deserve, God, we just apologize for it, God, because you deserve so much more, God, that we can even offer, God, so much more that we can even give, Lord, God. We just even tell you, thank you, God, just for blessing AFR radio station, God, this whole network, God, for even allowing us, God, this great opportunity, God, to even come on the radio station, God, and be able to tell about the goodness of the Lord, God. And I'm just so thankful, God, for everything that you have done, God. Just bless my bishop and my first lady, God, and all the other ministers, God, that is out there listening to this broadcast, Lord, God. Bless them guys in their car, God, where they're at work, God, wherever they at, God. Just bless them, Lord God, and just keep them safe, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you for Jocelyn, and thank you for the other young people that are part of Miracle Life Ministries. And thank you, Lord, for the work that they do both in the church, in the community. Thank you for their prayer outreach in the park as well. And Lord, thank you for many other churches that are actively seeking to get out into the community, to take the gospel to the world, and to do outreach, to touch people with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, more and more raise up ministries that specifically reach out to young people and to youth that are seeking to help them come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior, but who are also discipling young people and teaching them how to be godly young women and godly young men who will grow up to become godly men and godly women that will honor you and live a life that glorifies and pleases and honors you. And Father, stir us as the church to be serious-minded when it comes to youth ministry. Help us to recognize that youth ministry is a critical part of the church. The church's outreach, it's to be a critical part of the life of the church, always has been and always will be. Help us to not be a church that talks about reaching out to our youth, but a church that comes up with workable, biblically-based strategies that teach us by the power of the Holy Spirit how to effectively share the gospel so that young people will hear it, receive it, and come to be saved and to grow up. Help us to be wise enough to teach them what the building blocks of discipleship are about. Help us to be wise enough to teach and train our young people to be students of the Word of God who read your Word daily. Help us to be wise enough to teach and train them to be persons who live lives given to prayer. And help us to know, Lord, you call us to be a people that just not only read your Word, but we do it. We live it. Guide us to be faithful to teach and train our children to do just that. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the wonderful work of sharing the gospel with our youth and helping them to grow to become strong, godly men and women who will honor you in their lives. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jocelyn, just one more question, too. Now, I think I understood you just graduated from high school, did you say?
I did.
Okay, in December?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. So you graduate just a little bit early, huh?
Yeah, I graduated about 5 months early.
Okay. Well, you know, when you're smart and highly intelligent and with a high IQ like yours, I can understand that. So what are your plans after you finish high school?
Well,
do you know what you want to do?
Well, I know I'm going to college. I'm going to major in education. But if God leads me elsewhere, then that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. So you'd like to be a Christian teacher in the public school system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, that's the plan. Well, that's right. My plan.
But you're open to whatever the Lord may redirect you to do. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. How would you like for listeners to pray for you as you pursue what God is calling you to do? What would you like for people to pray for you about?
Just pray that God's will be done and that I'll be open to it and obedient when he speaks.
All righty then. And I want to encourage every listener to take the time to pray for Jocelyn, though, because, again, it's great to see a young lady that loves the Lord, that wants to live for the Lord and wants to seek to honor him in her goals and directions for the future. And, again, every single church representative that may be listening today, I want to encourage you, pray more for the youth outreach of your church because, again, our reaching young people and youth is so important. And sadly, it's not uncommon for churches to talk about ministering to young people, but sadly, there's not really not as much being done that needs to be done. So there's a great need for us to indeed and truth make it the priority God wants it to be. So I'm going to say one more prayer, a word of prayer for you, Jocelyn, but also for our youth as a whole in youth ministry. Lord, thank you for Jocelyn, her coming on, and thank you, Father, for Miracle Life Ministries Church Fellowship. Thank you for the revival they have going on this week. Lord, anoint every service with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Do a mighty work. I pray that many would be saved. I pray that many would be edified. Bring many people out to come and be a part of the services. And Lord, do a mighty work in the heart of every attendee. And Lord, we pray that you'd raise up more and more youth ministries that will be serious-minded about doing your work and sharing the precious word with our young people. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jocelyn, for being with us today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
We'll be right back after this break.
Urban Family Talk, spreading godly wisdom.
This is Jerome in Toledo, Ohio. I am a child of the Most High God, Jesus. I thank and praise the Lord for Urban Family Talk. Will and Mickey, I can think of no better examples of what role models that the family should be, and their discussions about the family and children are great, and just keeping us up to date on what's going on in the world. Really appreciate the biblical perspective. There's no other commentary I have heard better than Lion Chasers, Lionel Poindexter, and many of the guests that he has on his program. God bless you all. Keep up the good work. Praying for you all. You all pray for us.
Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our three-day Share-a-thon starting April 4th. Listener-supported Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. I had an opportunity to speak at my church recently, and I spoke from Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. In this scripture, Moses is given instruction from God concerning the children of Israel and what he is to say to Pharaoh. I thought it was interesting that God used Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt straight into a desert experience. When the Lord gave instruction to Moses, he said, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may serve me." Oftentimes when things get hard, we tend to pull away from our relationship with the Lord. Oftentimes when we are in our dry place, we forget that this isn't God's first rodeo. He's gotten us out of or kept us in our dry places before. For the children of Israel, their journey to Canaan was only supposed to be 11 days, but because of their murmuring and complaining, it lasted 40 years. Remember the next time you have your desert experience, how you get in will certainly dictate how you come out. Trust God in the desert place and don't forget to worship. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We appreciate you joining us. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We'll be introducing our phone guest today, Dr. Alice Crenshaw, in just a few moments. But as we start off this segment, I want to remind you once again, we do have our Spring Share-a-thon coming up in just a few weeks. And so we're still looking for listener testimonies. So if you'll be sure and give us a call, we'd really appreciate hearing from you. Our phone number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. If you'll call in and share how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to strengthen you, to build you up in your faith, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Today, our phone guest is Dr. Alice Crenshaw. She's the pastor of Solomon Chapel AME Church, and we're grateful to have her with us. Dr. Crenshaw, how are you today?
Oh, I'm blessed. How are you, Reverend?
Oh, real good, real good. Thank you for taking time to be with us on the broadcast. And would mention, Dr. Crenshaw, again, you're the pastor of Solomon Chapel AME Church in Cleveland, Mississippi. And
that is true.
And, of course, you have quite a few other things I could share. But as we start off, I'm going to ask if you will take just a few minutes to introduce yourself to and whatever's on your heart to share with our listeners about yourself and who you are.
Okay. I am Reverend Dr. Alice Abbott Crenshaw. I'm originally from New Orleans, and I've been here in Cleveland since November the 19th, I do believe. And enjoying the work of the Lord. It does not matter where I am. God is there always. Mm-hmm. I am a professional by trade, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
Okay. Okay, then. Well, as we start off, Dr. Crenshaw, I'm going to ask if you'll share a little bit about, okay, for many years you've served as a pastor in, I guess, in the New Orleans community, and only recently relocated to where you're serving, though. But can you tell us a little bit about some things that stand out about your ministry, the work you did while you lived in the New Orleans community?
Okay. I was in the Louisiana Conference, never really in the the exact New Orleans community.
Not specifically.
I was in St. Francisville for about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and the outreach there was to reach those who were within the community to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Presiding Elder Campbell moved me back to the metropolitan New Orleans area, I went over into Brick City. Some of the work that I did there was reaching out to the seniors and to young people
mm-hmm.
in the community. In St. Stephen's, which is in Kenner, Louisiana, out by the airport, I finally added on a food program, which I catered to the young folks and to the elderly. Spread that out among some of the smaller churches in the Louisiana Conference who would not normally be able to reach their community in such a way. I was able to bring them on so that they could do likewise in helping the senior citizens and children in those areas. My focus is always reaching out into community because that's where God wants us. He doesn't want us just sitting in the four corners of our churches and not reach out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very true. So very, very true. And I tell you, as we start off, just in the segment before, we had a young lady from a local church who was sharing about the outreach of her church. And it's a particular church that in the community that really has a very an effective outreach ministry to young people. As we start off this segment, would you pray for churches to really become much more serious-minded about reaching our youth? You know, I think of the fact that it's very common to hear churches talking about the need to reach out to our youth and how many challenges mm-hmm. and difficulties young people face in our day and time. But sadly, there are many times there's quite a bit of talk, but not nearly as much being done to really reach out to youth in an effective way. Would you pray for youth outreach through the Church of Jesus Christ today?
Yes, I will. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come humble as I know how, also as an empty pitcher, a vessel to be filled by you and your Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit has offered himself without blemish
to
God, and he asks us to do the same thing. And Father God, I'm asking that you continue to help me and others who are listening, that we may do the will of God, as we always read in the Bible, not my will, but your will, but begin to live that word, oh God. For I've learned, Lord, that there is no power to save but the Spirit of God, and no merit that we have other than in the blood of Jesus. So, Father God, this morning I ask that you will instill in our spirits and our souls and our minds to do the will of God by reaching out to our young people, Heavenly Father, and bringing them in to our churches and making them a part. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. And
yes,
I thank you, Lord,
Jesus,
for allowing me to see this a long time ago. And as a result, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you publicly right now for allowing me to use the children in the church where I serve at now. And I ask that you will instill in all of your preachers' minds, regardless of denomination, that we will begin to use our young people more than we have. Showing them and telling them about the love of God is just not enough, but allowing them to share. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, as we continue to look at that same topic, you know, you think of this like a few of those, the issues that we're looking at. The challenges include, for example, teenage pregnancies, lots of young people that are getting in crime at a very young age, drug abuse and alcohol abuse, but also lots of young men who not only are not they're not going to college, many of them dropping out of high school and not really having goals for themselves, and many of them that really aren't pursuing positive directions for their lives. Lots of challenges we could talk about. Would you share with us from your perspective, for example, maybe whether they be stories from the past, but ways that you've seen God move as you've done youth ministry and been involved with youth ministry in the past and other communities where you've served?
Well, part of our reason, I need to talk about that a little bit first.
Okay.
The reason we are where we are today is because somewhere between the third and fourth generations up to now, we have failed our children, and we failed them miserably mm-hmm. by not keeping them in the Word of God.
That's right.
Some of us, as was myself at one time, every time the church door opened, you know, I was in the church door because my grandmother was a vivid worshiper. Mm-hmm. And I had said when I got grown that I was not going to do my daughter like that. I wasn't going to make her go to church every time I had to go to church and stuff like that. But after I got grown and had my child, I did the same thing because it was good enough for me. It made me the person that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Word of God, learning the Word of God, living the Word of God. And so now we have young people that are out there that know not God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to, they feel that they have to make life themselves. Many of them have said, you know, what has God done for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know him. And so they go out there and they kill people, they steal, they do things that are not becoming. And so now we have a community that's unsafe. Well, the only thing that we can do now is offer Christ to them, but we can't beat them over the head with the Word of God. We have to show them by living the lives ourselves how God wants us to live, give testimony and witness by prayer and supplication as well, so that they can learn that we do have a God. Although you can't see him,
mm-hmm.
there are times he allows us to feel him. And when you pray to him and give him all that you have, he will never leave you nor forsake you. The most important thing to do when we pray, though, is to pray the words of God,
mm-hmm.
because he said his word would not return to him void. And I think when we do something of that magnitude with our children and put them to work, our young people as well, because we have a missing gap of people in our churches, too.
Mm-hmm.
Look like once they get out of college, we kind of lose them from college to maybe 42, 52 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we gave them something to do and helped them to find themselves, helped them to find their ministry, life would be better for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in line with what you're saying, too, there's such a need for us to recognize that, you know, you think of the question, the human question, what's in it for me? Well, of course,
mm-hmm.
we live in a world where the greatest benefit in life is coming to know God and living for God. There's nothing in life more important than that. Yet,
mm-hmm.
tragically, you see lots of people that are so blind to the reality of the fact that God is really everything that they're running from God. They feel like God's not important. And so that's true for many of our young people, but it's true, tragically, for lots of our adults as well. And so
right.
there's such a need for us to really come up with strategies that are biblically based, as you just referred to, but they're effective, because a lot mm-hmm. of what is being done today is not effective, and it's not reaching young people as it should. So as you're speaking up, starting with prayer and seeking God's heart is an important starting place. Where would you say to go once we really began to listen to God in prayer? What additionally would you encourage the church to do in that regard?
I would encourage the church to strongly be a teacher of God's word where it involves people where they are. Many times we want to teach people the things that we know and not the things that they need.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find out from people what is it that they want in life and how they plan to accomplish that goal. Then we need to show them how the Word of God and prayer will help them to attain that goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless we have a relationship with God, we really don't know what God can do.
That's right. That's right.
And many times that's the reason. If God has not done anything for you that you know of, then you can't believe in that God.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to teach people that it was God that woke you up this morning and started you on your way, even though you don't have a relationship with him. He's a just God. He just doesn't allow the rain and the sunshine to fall on those who are his, but on everybody.
That's right.
He's that kind of compassion. And it doesn't matter what you have ever done in life, God will forgive you. You have to ask him to forgive you, repent, and to repent means not to repeat that particular sin again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find out what the glory of God does for you.
That's right. That's right. Now, I tell you, too, Dr. Crenshaw, you know, ministering to the family is such an important part of the work of the church. And I think of this, that, like, you can easily grab the attention of parents when you begin to help them to see things that will bless and help their children. And, you know, one of the great needs in the church is to really help to equip our parents to be more involved in the work of the ministry, as in so parents will know how to lead their children to Jesus Christ. They'll know how to teach their children the building blocks of discipleship as well. Yet, sadly, we live in a world where many of the adults, many of the parents that are in church are very spiritually immature themselves. Many of them are not saved, though they want the best for their children. They're not saved themselves. So it's difficult, obviously, to, you know, how do you give someone something that you don't have? But also, even some that are saved haven't been taught the basics of following God, as in being a person who lives a life given to prayer, praying with your children, praying for your children, teaching them to pray, reading the Word. So those building blocks are such an important part of the work of the church. How would you encourage the church? What would you say to encourage the church to really be more diligent about just the work of discipling families specifically?
Well, first of all, what I think we need to do is to reach the people, to show them and tell them how important it is for them to be at Bible study and church school.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it in Sunday morning worship or Sunday afternoon worship. It is just not enough. They're not going to learn the Word on their own. Too many of them don't even study the Word. Those who know won't study the Word too much on their own. But we have to begin somewhere. And the thing of it is, the challenge that I have is getting people to attend both the Bible study and the church school. They come to one or the other, and then you get a few people who will come to both. And those are the people who are actually learning to have a closer walk with the Lord. You can't teach what you don't know, and you can't take some place where you don't go. No, you can't take a person where you don't go. So that's the other challenge that we have. I think that pastors and teachers in the church, I mean, if we have to get them one by one, we need to sit down one by one and talk to people. You're not going to get them by groups anyway, because most of the time you're talking is, even teaching, there's another conversation going on somewhere. Everybody's not attentive to listening. But if we get them one by one or family by family, you know, and we have to also teach that if there is a husband, wife, and children, that the husband is the head of the house. And so he really needs to learn the Word of God, because it's his responsibility at home to teach his family the Word of God.
That's right. So, I'm going to jump in right quick. We have a break coming up. We'll pick up right there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Dr. Alice Crenshaw, pastor of Solomon Chapel Church in Cleveland, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
I'm Will. My friends ended up playing NBA ball, but I lost my scholarship because of my alcohol addiction. But at Teen Challenge, I broke free of my addictions. Now I'm taking another shot at life.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says loving the things of this world can't help but suffocate our love for the Lord. We'll discover how easy it is to make that choice without realizing it as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
It's like the man, he wanted to get away to the beauty, scenic environment of an island. So he bought this pristine island surrounded by beautiful blue ocean water, and the whole island was his. One day, somebody gave him a great idea. They said, you know what? Why don't you build a golf course? Because that'll give you some fun stuff to do on your island. He said, you know what? That's a good idea. I'll build a golf course. They told him, a lot of people would want to play golf on this island. Why don't you build a hotel? Because you build a hotel, a lot of folk will want to come here and play golf on this private island surrounded by this ocean. He said, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Okay. He said, now, boy, we got all these people coming. Let's build a hospital because folk get sick and they stay here a while. You got to be able to take care of them. And so he authorized the building of a hospital. And they told him, well, you know, we can't vouch for all the people that come. We need a police department so if some folk go off, we can still keep it calm here so people will keep wanting to come. He had a police department. By the time it was over, he couldn't smell the ocean. The air was tore up from the flow up because he had crowded it with so much other stuff, he forgot the reason why he got there in the first place. That's how the world is. It wants to crowd out the reason for the relationship with God to begin with.
If you'd like to learn what it means to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of the group Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome, a reminder that we're to live in such a way that we should invite the Holy Spirit into everything we do and live so that he's welcome in every part of our lives. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest by way of phone is Dr. Alice Crenshaw, the pastor of Solomon Chapel in Cleveland, Mississippi. And Dr. Crenshaw, if someone wants to come visit Solomon Chapel, how would they get there?
Well, we're located at 515 Ruby Street in Cleveland, Louisiana. It's just off two blocks off of Highway 61 in the Cleveland area.
Okay. That Cleveland, Mississippi, that is, specifically.
Yes.
Okay. All righty then.
In the Mississippi area.
All righty then. We were talking about ministering to families, and, you know, I think of this. I'm going to ask if you'll share your thoughts on this. You know, we live in a day and time in which lots of couples are choosing not to get married. They're just deciding to live together, or even if they don't live together, they're involved sexually outside of marriage, which is just a lifestyle for so many people. What would you encourage the church to do to really begin to address this effectively? Because it's such a big issue and big area of need in our culture. What words of wisdom would you share about that?
That's a sore part of my side, because I hate the fact that our young folk have decided to go against God's desires and wishes for us. He gave us the perfect example in Genesis when he created the world, and he made man and woman, and he made them to dwell together as husband and wife. That was the first ordained marriage. So we are to get married, not to shack up. We should not want to bring children in the world who don't have legal fathers. They've got a legal mother, but not a father.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those who have already done those kinds of things need to seek God alone first in their lives and look to the power of his Spirit and the merits of his Son so that they can get their lives back together again. All that we do that's out of God's grace is short of God being able to satisfy our souls. So we have to learn how to fix everything in our lives on him.
That's right.
Through all and above all. And for the power of all the merit of him alone, if we want to live a gracious, long life in the Lord, we have to include him in everything, and we have to do live our lives the way he has suggested or demanded, in a sense, that we live. We have to deny the things that we want in the world, you know. We have to take up our cross and follow him daily, mm-hmm, in our daily life in order to be able to live right.
That is so true. I think of a scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, that says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, mm-hmm, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You know, the need for the church to preach and teach the importance of the institution of marriage is so, so great in our culture today, because for many, many people may hear more about marriage between homosexuals rather than a heterosexual marriage, which is, and of course, heterosexual marriage is ordained of God. And in reality, a marriage between two men and two women really is not marriage at all, though the world would like to say it is. So, but preaching and teaching about it from God's perspective is so important. And I think of this too. There is a need for us to be courageous enough to preach and teach about it, even in the midst of persons coming that are coming to church, that they're living that lifestyle, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts and changes hearts. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that we need to be ready to cut off everything or anything that would hinder us from doing the will of God. We've got to be ready and willing to suffer the loss of possessions and sometimes even friends.
Mm-hmm.
To do what God wants us to do and to live like God wants us to live. God did not make, in the garden, he did not make two men. He didn't make Adam and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not make two women, Eve and Yvette.
That's right.
Two sets of a group of people cannot procreate.
That's
he made man and woman. And the same thing with animals. It's male and female. They procreate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to realize that that is a social aspect of life that has been picked up. And if I can, if it's okay for me to say it, it's been instituted by mm-hmm. the enemy of God, enemy of the world,
mm-hmm.
to attack God's people to keep them from living the life that God has ordained for us to live. And if we want eternal life, then we have to live by God's principles and not by our own or what Satan has made us think that it's our own. You know, he's very conniving. So we say, well, this is what I want to do. No, it's not really what you wanted to do. This is what Satan put in you to do, and you're weak enough because you don't have enough word inside of you to do God's will. And
that's
so
right.
You do the enemy's will.
That is so true, so true. And so then one of the needs is for the church to preach and teach biblical marriage and also to model it. And in so many instances, there's such a need to challenge, especially young men, get married. Don't live like
right.
a dog. Don't live any kind of way. Try to make it your goal to do things God's way, because that's where God can begin to bless your life, your lifestyle, your marriage, and your family. But as it stands now, lots of problems and difficulties that we create for ourselves because we've decided we're going to do it our way rather than God's way.
And parents don't teach that anymore about getting married.
Hmm.
That's the other thing, male or female, they're just not teaching it. A marriage is like anything else. You've got to work at it in order to make it a viable part of your life.
That's right.
There are many people. My grandparents, I think, were together some 65 years before either one of them died.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy every day, but one of the things I used to hear my grandmother say to people that would come and talk to her, whatever goes on outside of your bedroom, in your house, or any place else, when it's time to go to bed, you leave that junk out there. Don't take that to the marriage bed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do, when you get up, that confusion is there still. And
mm-hmm.
it keeps festering. And instead of getting better, it gets worse. We have to teach our children, just like a regular job you go to. Your work is not going to be done unless you work whatever's on your desk or whatever kind of work you do. You've got to put something into it. If you don't put anything into it, you're not going to get anything out of it.
That's
it's
right.
got to be workable. Just
That's
like
right.
you work with children, we've got to teach them.
Mm-hmm. So preaching and teaching about it, and of course, you know, the fact is it needs to become a priority for the church in our culture, especially in view of the way, as you just alluded to, the way Satan has attacked marriage, so much so that for many young people, it's nowhere on their radar screen. And I recall years ago when I pastored and also worked in the school system in another state, the discussion of marriage came up in the class, and one young lady wanted to know why is marriage important? And as she shared about her own situation, she had five sisters, and I think most, if not all of them, were they all belonged to their mom, of course, but different men, and she had never seen marriage modeled. And so in her mind, the question was, why do we need it? And so that puts our children at a great disadvantage when they don't see it modeled, they don't see it preached or taught. So we have our job cut out for us. We really do.
Yes, we do. We do.
And great is the need for us to understand that, like, because we know God, because we have the Word of God, there's always hope. We should never be hopeless when it comes to any issue, any area of challenge, because God can always resurrect any area that may look dead. And so
That's right.
the church must always keep hope and keep preaching truth, keep speaking truth, keep standing on truth, because there are those that will hear the Word and respond to it as well. So would you pray for the church, Dr. Crenshaw, as it relates to really focusing on helping to raise up godly marriages in our culture today? Would you pray specifically for that?
Yes, Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, your humble servant come on behalf of the people of God and those who are out of the Ark of the Covenant, that you will instill in us by your Holy Ghost power, Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
That
Lord,
we
Jesus.
Should not live with one another. We should honor
Thank you, Lord.
The word of God in marriage. We should honor the word in bringing up our children in a religious home. We should honor
Thank you, Lord.
The fact that the man should be the head of the household.
Thank you,
we should honor, dear Lord, that women and children are to follow their husbands, their father in life,
yes,
by good examples, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that we are not like we should be or want to be, but we thank you, Father, that you're working on us, that we can now be the kind of people that you're calling us
yes,
to be
Jesus.
By the word of God. So, Lord, we ask that you instill your word in your people, that we who are preachers and
Thank
teachers
you,
will
Lord
teach
Jesus,
what thus says the Lord, so that we can have a better community and better
yes,
communication
Lord.
With the people of God in our community. That
yes,
when we go out, oh God, that the people will see the array of Jesus around us, Heavenly Father, and want
Thank
to be
you,
more
Jesus.
Like us, because they can see the blessings that you are bestowing upon us. Because when we do follow the word of God, nothing that we need or nothing that we want, you will withhold from us.
Yes,
and we thank
Lord.
You, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for the opportunity we have as the church of being able to give people your truth as it relates to all of life, but in particular in the area of marriage. Give us wisdom and grace to do it your way and do it in the way that you'll be glorified. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Crenshaw, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast today. We appreciate
it. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk. Urban.